We continue our learning. We're in Chulin. Perek Yud Beis Mishnah. Hey, the final Mishnah in the Masechet. Lo yitol adam eim al abanim afilu l'taras ha-metzora. Person cannot violate this negative prohibition, lo sikach ha-eim al abanim, and must fulfill the mitzvah of shalech, tashalach ha-sem, you have to send away the mother bird. And this must be done even in a case where one would have thought that, oh, maybe I don't have to send away the mother bird. I'm going to take the chicks, but I don't have to send away the mother bird because I'm using the mother bird. I'm using it for the purification process of Metzorah. A person who has Tzaras has to go through, as described in Vayikra Perek Yudal, it has to go through a purification process, shave his entire body, and he has to bring Karbanos, one of them, the two birds, one of them is thrown to the Sadeh, but one of them is Shechted. So maybe if I'm using the mother bird for the purposes of a mitzvah, I don't have to send away the mother bird. So the Mishnah says, no, Shalech to Shalach, the double language, you have to send away the mother bird, even if you were planning on using it for a mitzvah. And then the Mishnah concludes with the following statement about Shiluach HaKein and maybe other mitzvos in general. Uma'im mitzvah kalashi ki isar. When it comes to a very light mitzvah, which costs you an isar is a small coin, 1/24th of a zuz, 1/24th of a dinar. So shiluach hakein, which what does it cost you? May not cost you anything, but even if you have someone send away the mother, but what's it going to cost you? Pay someone a small coin and they'll do the job for you. So that's, if for it comes to mitzvah kala, the Torah says, leman yitavlach, so that in order that Hashem do good for you, vaharach tayamim, and you will live a long life, you'll be zochet to longevity by doing this very easy mitzvah that costs you almost nothing. Kal v'chomer al mitzvos chamuros shabbat Torah. So kal v'chomer, we're going to be rewarded with longevity, with goodness, for the mitzvos chamuros, for the more strict mitzvahs that may cost more money, mitzvahs that involved more effort on our part. It's an interesting question that the Mefarshim ask. Don't we learn in Pirkei Avos, in the second perek, we have to be as careful when it comes to a mitzvah kala as a mitzvah chamura? So here the mitzvah is telling why, because we don't really know the matan schar of mitzvahs. And here we have a mishnah that's basically telling us that, no, there are different levels of mitzvahs, and we can view, no doubt, that shiluach hakein is the lighter of the mitzvahs, and then and there are other mitzvahs that are more chamur, more strict. So to hear for the Mishnah to measure the reward of a more difficult mitzvah based on the expense that it may have or the effort that's involved, so that shouldn't be. It sounds like we're supposed to put the same amount of effort into all mitzvahs because we don't really know the schar of the mitzvahs. So the different answers to that question, but one is a comment of the Maharal. The Maharal says that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says you don't know the matan schar of mitzvahs, is speaking about the reward for observing the mitzvah itself. The performing the mitzvah doesn't depend on how much effort that's involved. So the essence of the mitzvah inherently, we have to look at all mitzvahs the same. Mitzvahs are all, we can't understand possibly the reward for a mitzvah. At the same time, l'fum tzara agra, we learn in Avos, in Perakeh, that that your reward is based on the tzara, the toil, the effort we put in. So on the one hand, we look at mitzvahs, you have to look at them all the same and put in the same amount of effort because we don't know the matan schar of the mitzvahs. That's the mitzvah itself, but there's no doubt that there's more schar for mitzvahs that involve more effort. So therefore, when it comes to shiluach hakein, it's true. Shiluach hakein, in essence, we have to say, okay, this mitzvah is an important mitzvah, as kibud avayim is an important mitzvah, as Shabbos is an important mitzvah. And we have to put in the toil and effort for that mitzvah as well. The point of the Mishnah here is that in the end of the day, it doesn't take that much effort or expense to perform this mitzvah. So no doubt, based on the principle of l'fum tzara agra, we no doubt there's going to be a certainly reward, and maybe greater reward, for the mitzvahs that involve more tzar, more toil, more effort, than the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, which obviously does not involve much effort and not much expense at all, only costs an isar. We begin Maseches Bechoros. Maseches Bechoros, the first Perek speaks about the mitzvah, not of Bechor, but rather Petach Hamor, the firstborn of a donkey. Even though it's a non-kosher animal, the laws are not as much The laws are not as lengthy as the laws of Bechor, so we kind of get this out of the way to begin with, but the concept is similar, although it's a behema temeah. Nonetheless, the peter rechem, the first that's born of the chamor, has kedusha, according to Rashi quotes this on Chumash. The chamorim helped us out to bring all of the everything we took out of Mitzrayim, the gold and the silver, the clothing, etc. So therefore they have special kedusha. So the Mishnah here is going to begin speaking about the mitzvah of peter chamor. Says the Mishnah the following: Halokeach ubar chamor shel nachri. Choros Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph says, a person who buys the fetus of a chamor of a non-Jew, what did he do? He bought, there was a pregnant donkey, belonged to a non-Jew, and we know that this is the first, it's a mevakeres, it's going to be the first child, so it's going to be a peter rechem, so there's going to be kedusha for that chamor, and the Torah says in Parashas Bo, what do we do with peter chamor? So peter chamor has to be exchanged for a seh, we learned this already, has to be exchanged for a seh, and that is given to the Kohen, and then you can keep your chamor, and if you don't do that, va'arafto, you have to break the back of the neck. So here, though, the ownership, the animal itself, the fetus that's going to be the peter chamor, that's going to have that kedusha, belongs to a non-Jew. So here you have a Jew who buys the ubar of a chamor of a nachri, or v'hamochelo. Or let's say a Jew sells the first fetus of his own donkey, of the Jew's donkey, and he's selling that to a non-Jew. This Mishnah will tell us that he's going to be pater of mina b'chora, meaning the laws of petach hamor will not apply. But we'll get to that in a moment. The Mishnah here, though, says, afal pishenu rashai, even though you're not permitted to do so, meaning we're pointing out that it says v'hamocherlo, if a person who sells the fetus of his donkey to an non-Jew, even though you're not supposed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? So there's a prohibition for a Jew to sell to a non-Jew a behema gasa, a large animal, a cow, ox, donkey, etc. If you do so, it's an effective sale. But nonetheless, there's an issue to do so. Why is that so? Because there is because we're afraid that when you sell it to a non-Jew, there's no issue of Hilchos Shabbos that's involved. The animal belongs to the non-Jew. But if we allow you to sell an ox, a cow, a donkey, etc., to a non-Jew, we're afraid that you may rent it to him, and you may lend it to him. And if you do that, so that's a problem, because you, the Jew, retain ownership of it. And the non-Jew is going to be working that animal on Shabbos, but you have, the Torah says, several places, you have, well, Aseres Adibros, it's a good place to say it, where we have an obligation that our animals rest on Shabbos. They don't do work. And if a non-Jew is doing work on an animal that belongs to a Jew, even though their non-Jew rented it, we say Schiros Lo Kanya, renting something doesn't mean you're the owner. Certainly if you're borrowing it, you're not the owner. So therefore, a Jew is not permitted to even sell, that's a gezeira, even sell a large animal, behema gasa, to a non-Jew for fear that he may end up lending it or renting it. So the Mishnah just points out, a person who buys an uber chamor shel narchav non-Jew, or v'hamochel, or he sells it to him, so just in parentheses, even though he's not permitted to do so because of this Shabbos issue, but he did, so the sale is effective, as we will see, or v'hamishtateflo, let's say the Jew, enters into a partnership with a donkey. So what does that mean? That the Jew and the non-Jew, they each pays a little bit, and they buy an animal together. Or let's say a Jew has a donkey and he gives half it to the non-Jew. So they're now partners in this animal. So in all of these cases, the fetus is going to be exempt from the laws of Bechor and the laws of Petach Hamor, because the Nachri has some ownership. And that ownership could be any little bit, could be one limb of the fetus, or even or a partnership in the mother itself. So that's enough to make the fetus exempt from the laws of Bechor and Petach Hamor, etc. Or v'hamakabel miminu. Let's say the donkey belongs to the non-Jew, and a Jew now is mekabel. It means like the contract. He accepts the responsibility. He's going to care for it. And what's he going to receive for that? So the non-Jew is going to give him, split with him, let's say the offspring that comes from that donkey. So the donkey belongs to the non-Jew. And so it's another example where the non-Jew has ownership of this. Or v'hanosein l'mekabela. Or let's say the other way, the donkey belongs to the Jew, and the non-Jew is mekabel it and is going to take care of it. And what is the deal that they strike here? So now they're also going to share equally in the offspring of that donkey. So here also there's not going to be any Kedusha, and in all these cases, Patur min ha-Bechorah. In all of these cases, there is no Chiyuv of Bechorah at all, there's no Kedusha on that animal. Why? Shenemar, B'Yisrael, Avalo Ba'achem. What is the pasuk says that it uses the language of Yisrael, and Yisrael obviously comes to exclude others. The full pasuk is Hikdashli kol bechor be Yisrael. So every bechor is kadosh, yeah, but that's a kadosh, that's be Yisrael. So we learn from there, be Yisrael, but not when it comes to a non-Jew's donkey or bechor. And in this case, even it has any partnership in it at all. Then the Mishnah says Kohanim ulevim p'turim mikavachomer. Kohanim and Levim are patur from the halacha of Petar Chamor, which means that Petar Chamor, the firstborn donkey of a Kohen or a Levi, is patur from the din of Bechora, from Kedusha, Mikal Vachomer. And the Mishnah explains, what's the Kal Vachomer? In patru shel Yisrael Bamidbar, if they, the Levim, Kohanim, Shevet Levi, were able to exempt the Jewish people in the Midbar, what does that mean? When we were in the Midbar before they came to Eretz Yisrael, so all of the Bechorim, animals, humans, were all had Kedusha. And then Hashem said to Moshe, Kachas alaviim atachas kol b'chor b'vnei Yisrael. That Kedusha now is going to be exchanged. And now it's going to be transferred to the Levim. So what do you see? By the Levim themselves, they had the ability, they had the power to release, to be mafkia, the Jewish people from their b'chor, from Kedusha's b'chor of the Yisrael. So if the Levim had the ability to release the Kedusha b'chor from the Jewish people, do they not have the Kal Vachomer? They can do it over of themselves, the kedusha that they have, dinu sheifter es atzmon. It makes a lot of sense. Then they should be able to exempt themselves. So that's the Kal Vachomer. They had the ability to release the kedusha from the Jewish people. They certainly have the ability to do so for themselves. They themselves and their children from kedushas bechor. And okay, that's human beings. How do you know animals? Well, there's a hekesh. There's a comparison. It says ach pados if de eis bechor ha'adam. That's humans. The eis bechor ha'behemah tameh atif. And Bechor Be'er Tamea, which of course is the donkey, should be redeemed as well. So what do you see? You compare the firstborn of non-kosher animals to the firstborn of human beings. And therefore, what do we see from here? That this applies, this ability of Shevet Levi, Kohanim Levim, to release Kedushas Bechor is something that applies not only to humans, but with that something that will apply to animals that belong to Shevet Levi as well. Whichever Shevet is required to redeem the firstborn of their children, they have to redeem the firstborn of their behemoth tameos, of their donkeys. But if you're not, you don't have that requirement to redeem the firstborn of your children, which is Shevet Levi, so you don't have an obligation to redeem the firstborn of the donkeys.